Okay. Father, Lord, thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in us. My Lord and my God, my all in all, life of my life, spirit of my spirit. Father, we ask that you look with mercy upon us and fill us with your Holy Spirit so much so that our hearts shall have no room for anything but you, Father. Glory be to God. Keep us from doing anything that's going to be displeasing to you, Father. And I pray, Lord, you would keep us from all worldliness, from all self-pleasure. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to live filled with the Holy Spirit and to be led continually by your Spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus. Put your will in us, Lord, to wholly serve you and to make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And we praise you, Father, for doing that in each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for your faith put in us to believe in the love and the power of God to keep us moment by moment, day by day, and our thoughts continually on you forever and ever, O Lord. Take away from our hearts all that's opposed to you and enter and abide and rule forever. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Anoint us ever one, Lord, to speak the things that you want us to speak tonight. In the name of Jesus. Let your glory come down, Father, and lead and guide us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for an open heaven that we know that when we pray, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that people get healed, delivered, and set free by the power of your blood. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that tonight's going to be a special night, Lord. Every time that we get to spend with your people, Lord, I know it's going to be special. And I thank you that tonight's not going to be any exception, Lord. And I praise you. And thank you for all that you're going to do tonight in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, got a bunch of people out there waiting to get in, beating on the door. Come on in here, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I feel something going on tonight. Something's on fire, and it better be y'all. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, my, my, my. Somebody better get a smile on their face. That's all I'm saying. Glory to God. You are a son or daughter of the Most High King, the Most High God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be to God forevermore. Woo! Rejoice. That's right. Rejoice. I say, awake. Awake, you sleepy head. Get up. Hallelujah. Praise you. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests tonight? Because God's going to answer. Yeah, Joe. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, everybody. It's not a prayer request, but I think I must confess about Sunday night. I'm not sure what I did say get over as boasting of myself. That wasn't the thing. I was just be glad about the Lord doing works and my stuff that's long been not finished, so I wasn't sound like boasting to me. It's just all the Lord's gewees. Thank you, then, everybody.
Understood. Yeah, we didn't think that. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Yeah, Ria.
Yeah, I want to follow up just on what you and I discussed, Michael, and also just apologize because I think what I said to Pat was wrong. Pat raised that scripture about Ezekiel 28, about it referring to Satan. And Benita was also asking about that. And I was very forward in saying, no, just read it. And it's definitely talking about a man. And I looked at it again and went through it slowly. And it is definite. It's divided into two sections. And I listened to some of the teachings that David talks about. And the first section talks about the Prince of Tyre, that is a man. But the second section talks about the King of Tyre, which was in the Garden of Eden, which was on God's holy mountain, walked through the stones of fire. And that cannot be a man. That cannot be the King of Tyre and can't be referring to that. So I stand corrected in what we chatted there. So I apologize, Pat. You are right. And it is actually referring to Satan in that. And if it isn't referring to Satan there, we actually know very, very little about how he fell and what he was like before. So that's a very, very key a part in the Bible. I suppose we can chat about that later if you want, Michael, some more, but I just wanted to come up and just say that. So,
well, I'm glad you brought it up. I too had some questions about it, and I went back to David afterwards and I asked him, I said, David, I thought I had heard you talking about this the other morning and that you had said that these were men. He said, I did. He said, but I knew I was in trouble when he said, but anyway, he clarified it just like you said, Rian, that it is also talking about Satan falling from heaven. So I'm glad we got that squared away. And thank you so much, Rian. You made it easy. Thank you. Glory to God.
All right,
does everybody
no worries,
understand
thanks.
That? Everybody understand that? Okay, good deal. All right, so we got that clarified. All right, Father, I just thank you for bringing my brothers and sisters in here, and we can all, we all want the truth. We don't want anything but the truth. And Father, I thank you so much for straightening things out and getting it all back in order. And I praise you, Father, for people that are willing to admit, fault. We all do that. And I thank you, Father, that we just want to know what's right and what's truth. That's all we're looking for. And I thank you, Father, for straightening us all out in Jesus' name, at least straightening me out. Anyway, thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Who's that 716 number down there? I think it's Tracy. All right, has anybody else got a prayer request? Yeah, Judy.
I have prayer requests. I want you all to agree with me about some things. Seems like the weather forecast out here in Southern California, it's not just where I'm at, but it's the southern counties of California are under a red flag warning for fires. The conditions are going to be very favorable with high winds, low humidity. It's not going to be really, really hot, but that doesn't matter. It's very, very dry. And they're expecting very gusty winds, et cetera. So I want you all please to agree with me. Father, thank you for the trials of my faith. I thank you, Lord, that you are sovereignly in control over all the weather. And you gave us authority over all the powers of the enemy. And even Christ in us can call. Can command the winds to be still and the weather to change, Lord. So we just ask for your mercy and your grace that you would change the conditions of the weather here, Lord, that they're not going to be weather threatened with fire possibilities. I cast down every plan of the enemy to start any fires, whether they be accidental, DEW, or any kind of pyromania, or any mischiefness and all that. and I cast down all the threats, and the conditions are going to change completely. There's not going to be any high winds. There's not going to be any low humidity, and there's not going to be any more red flag. They're going to cancel it out. I thank you, Father, for taking care of this need. I cast down all the fear and all of the bad reports that people are speaking about it. In Jesus' name, I cast down every lie of the enemy and every tactic of the enemy. I don't know if this is weather warfare or what it is, God, but I thank you for this test that you're putting me through again. And I just believe you, Lord, to take care of my every need according to your riches and glory. And you're no respecter of persons. You honor faith. And my brothers and sisters in here are agreeing with me that there's not going to be any power outages and there's not going to be threats of fires or any of the conditions that are going to warrant it. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You are muted, Michael.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, Will, go ahead, brother.
Evening, everyone. Evening, Michael. Yeah, a month and a half or so ago, I spoke to Dirk and I asked him if he was sort of wanting to come to the farm and live here. And then he said, you know what, it's very strange that I'm asking him this because things have changed in their lives and they're looking to move out of Pretoria. They're sort of an hour and a half away from our town, which is, they're sort of in Joburg, Pretoria. Joburg has merged with Pretoria. I don't know what you call it, but it's a bigger city then. Is it a megatropolis or something like that? I don't know. And then he said, like, the Lord was showing them to sort of, they feel like the Lord is showing them to go to a place called Prince Albert. I was sort of very surprised because it's a small town in the Karoo Desert. It's sort of like the Mexican desert almost, I guess. So we were looking it up and praying. Yeah, we were praying for them. I think I'm going to tell them to listen to the recording. I think they went there now to sort of investigate the place. It's all very strange to us because it's changed everything for us as well. So we are praying and asking the Lord Prince Albert, is that maybe the refuge? Is that maybe the refuge you want us to go to as well? You know, it just changed everything. It's such a strange place, you know. It was it was such a surprise, and I think Pietra is also praying and asking the Lord if she must go there. So everyone's created some stir, I guess, and everyone's sort of asking, is that the refuge now for South Africa? So if we could just pray about that, I'll appreciate that. And that's just my prayer request, I guess. Let me just quickly pray. Lord, I pray that you will reveal to us where you want us to be. I remember teaching one a few years ago or a year and a half ago where David said, get light, because if the Lord tells you to go somewhere, you must go. You know, you must be in that sort of framework now, in that mindset. So, Lord, I ask you if that's the place for us or for them, I don't know, Lord, that you will reveal it to us as well if you want us also to go there, and that we won't be stubborn, you know, if you're sort of grounded where you are, rooted, Lord, it won't be that we might not miss your call to go if that's where what you want us to be. I'm not sure. I just pray about this whole situation, Lord, that you will shed your light on this. And that, the truth will be revealed and what you expect of us will be revealed and that we will listen and do what you want us to do. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for showing Will what he needs and what you want, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Place him right where you want him, Lord, where they'll do the most good for you and the kingdom. in Jesus' name. Hi, Claire. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, up here in Canada, all of the province of Ontario and Quebec are going back into a lockdown. And I don't know exactly what that entails. As far as I know, I'm going back to work in January, regular time. But they're going to lock everything down again. I actually went and listened to some news. Lots of stuff happening up here in Canada. They're going to have this lockdown for, it starts on the 26th of December for 25 days. Because apparently this COVID thing is getting worse. Another thing that's planned here is a carbon tax is going to severely, according to our premier of our province here, which would be equivalent to a state for you, they're going to have a carbon tax, and it's going to raise the price of everything that gets transported. So they're saying maybe 30%. So all the commodities a person buys, food, gasoline, everything is going to be 30% higher. And I don't understand what this carbon tax is all about. I don't see how it's going to clean the environment, because it's just going to make the onslaught of COVID that closed a lot of stores and stuff. People are in dire straits already, even more in dire straits. So that's the extent of what I found out in just a couple of days. And it was a little shocking to me. So I prayed about it already for the brethren. I also wonder about with the other pieces of information, What is actually in detail that's going to be actually happening during this lockdown time. Anyway, so they're going back to the time like it was in March, in other words, where they started locking everything down. So I prayed about that, and I just would ask the Lord, and I ask you guys to have the Lord reveal the brethren up here, because I assume it just might be the two biggest provinces. I don't know. But I know Ontario and Quebec is going to be doing this, where the COVID is the highest. Okay, so the Lord... I asked that you would, there's one thing I didn't ask, and that's what I just thought of right now, is that you would reveal to me what is actually going on, or what should I do, how should I prepare for this. In Jesus' name I pray, and I would ask that you people agree with me on that point. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for protecting all of your chosen up there in Ontario and Quebec and Canada. In the name of Jesus, Father, we praise you for that, Lord. Well, go ahead.
I don't know. I just wanted to share this with everyone. We've got... I don't know, I listened to one of my old voice notes last night on social media, and then there's this prophet in South Africa that he says he's a watchman. Just the strange thing to me is he said he warned everyone against the vaccine. If you get the vaccine, it alters your DNA, and if your DNA is altered, you're doomed forever. So he sort of said that the vaccine is the what that causes desolation. That if you get the vaccine, it's the abomination that causes desolation. That was like, what, isn't that the microchip? Like, I was just wondering how damaging that will be to the Christian community that listens to him now. I don't know what we must pray, but like you, there's a lot of people. It's very serious, and it sounds quite legit if you don't know your revelation. If you're sort of new, you know, it's like it alters your DNA. So if you become separated from God, and I don't know, I didn't expect anything like this. I don't know what we should do about it, but it was interesting.
Amen. Yeah, I might share something on that. Angelica sent me an article about just that this afternoon, and I had a chance to look it over just a little bit. And we might, I might just show it to you here in a little bit. Let's get through with these prayers first, and we'll see what it says. It's something about the tip of the needle that breaks off inside you after they give you the vaccination, and that is the chip that they're talking about. And it has a polymer-based coating on it that keeps it from deteriorating, and it does. Anyway, it's nefarious what they're doing. That's Bill Gates stuff. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I just wanted to tag in with Andrew there and just join him in prayer as well. And Lord, I would ask that you would raise up an awareness, a public awareness there for society, that people would start to simply ask the question, where is this money going to go and how is it being spent? That they're raising up for this green, probably their Green New Deal or carbon tax or whatever. It seems to it's real easy to raise a tax or create a tax, but nobody ever thinks about making those people accountable for where that money is going. So, Lord, I just ask that you'd raise that awareness, raise those questions, raise the people's vision in Canada, that they start to question their leaders, Lord. I pray that you would give grace to our brothers and sisters there in Canada, Lord, that they would start to rise up and stand up against the socialism that is taking place worldwide, Lord. I thank you for that. Thank you for the raising of the man-child, the bride, and your word that will cover the earth as waters, oceans cover the earth. And we thank you for that, Lord. Also pray and join with Julie, Lord, that you would surround her house, her neighborhood, her city with just a cone of protection. Lord, a cone of protection of your faith and of your strength. Gather together Christians in like mind there in that environment and strengthen them to pray against these winds, against these temperatures, against fire starting in that area. And that we thank you, Lord, for your protection. Invisible as it is still the greatest protection that we have. We thank you for that. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. I had a prayer request for my brother, Wayne, he came on to the conference. I talked to him about coming on to the conference calls about 6 months, a year ago or something like that. And he chimed in once and then was out. But Wayne is very like-minded with me, and It's thinking along the same veins, obviously, the same spirit and everything. So I would just ask that you join with me and encourage his heart, strengthen his heart, give him direction to join with us, to start to move down the path of discipleship. Lord, I know that you are leading him and guiding Wayne in various areas, Lord, but this is a time when I feel like it is important that we all come together and that we hone our awareness and our sensitivities to your spirit, and that we learn to submit one to another, that we may be healed, that we may be receive the perspective of others, Lord, that each one of us is given a unique perspective of you, in your view in our particular set of circumstances. Thank you, Lord, that you're leading us all through to be examples to those around us, to learn the things that you're showing us, so that we can be able to share them with others, Lord. So I just pray for Wayne that you'd strengthen him, that you'd open up his eyes and draw him with the Holy Spirit, draw him into your kingdom even stronger. And Lord, I'd like to see him join with us on these calls. And I just lay it in your hands. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for drawing him in Jesus' name. All right, Dominic, go ahead. You got it, brother. For whatever reason, we can't hear you. You're unmuted to the Zoom.
Oh, but I got it. I was muted on my phone. I do that just in case somehow I unmute myself. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah, I just had a question about the vaccine. I talked to Brandy about it, and he answered it pretty well. But I just kind of want to question it one more time just to really understand it a little better. Like, you know, it's saying that it alters your DNA to where you can't feel the Lord anymore. I just don't understand that. I'm not saying I disagree or anything. I'm just confused because, you know, in the Bible, it talks about how nothing shall separate us from the, you know, the love of God, which is Christ Jesus, you know, and just curious on how something physical can alter something spiritual, because it says that which is born in flesh is flesh, and that which is born in spirit is spirit. So how could something physical alter something spiritual? It's just confusing. That's all.
Yeah. Okay, well, as far as a believer goes, I'm talking about a true believer, it cannot, and it will not, if you believe. If they force you to take it, there's no problem there, because you believe that God's blood cleansed you from any kind of effects of it. As far as going ahead and doing it, taking it willfully, well, you're not trusting God. And if you're not trusting God, this thing can, I don't know, it's too early, in my estimation, it's too early for the mark to be, a physical mark to be given out in the first place. I think this is more or less a thing that they have a patent on. I don't think it's in place yet. I could be mistaken on that. Claire, that's the same thing that that Angelica sent me. I don't know. Maybe you have some more information about it, but just kind of overviewing what I saw. It's just a patent, wasn't it? It wasn't. Is it in place yet?
So when David sent out that email a few days ago, I was just telling Rian last night, like, I don't watch the news or do anything like that. Quite similar to Joe, since David warned us a few months ago of that, I just don't do it. But when he sent out that email about, he had a few links there, and I spent graciously one day, God gave me 8 hours, and I just went through all of that in rapid speed and listened to it. And I made some notes on what Anthony Patch says. And what he explains is that there's a difference between the virus and the vaccine, but that the virus actually acts like a retrovirus, so like HIV. I'm not medical at all, so you will all need to go and do your own research on this, but I'm just reading from my notes that I made from Anthony Patch. Anyway, so the way that the virus acts is different. Again, it's not the mark, it's just a virus. And obviously we believe in Psalm 91 and we believe in what the Lord says. So even if you have had COVID, your blood is cleansed, you're clean. You don't have any effects down the line from whatever the disease of COVID did to you. But what is interesting is that that vaccine is being looked at as though it is the mark, and there's a few parts to it. It contains luciferase, right? That name in itself should, you know, prick your ears, but it's basically some kind of molecule that can be illuminated in the dark. So it's a false light. It's got hydrogel, it's got the 5G antennas, and it's got the quantum dots. Now, if you put all of that together, some of this is going to sound like sci-fi, I understand. For me, myself, I do oscillate between this is all just sci-fi and I don't believe it. And then the other part of me goes, well, this is being revealed to me, so I should pay attention. All of these things together don't act like a normal vaccine. They don't need to be refrigerated. It doesn't need to be administered by a health professional, because it's more technology than what it is medicine or traditional sort of pharmacia. This vaccine is basically engineering a scenario where each technical component in that vaccine is part of a biomarker system. So what they plan to do is have like four rollouts of the vaccine. The initial vaccines that they'll give us will just, when I say us, I mean humanity at large, will be sort of similar to what you're getting currently from a needle, you know. But as it goes down the line, there will be other ways that they will be able to administer the vaccine, like in the second round, maybe. Anthony Patch himself doesn't think that they'll get to the fourth round of vaccination, but basically all of this stuff will be able to work because of that retroviral capacity of the virus. So the virus actually acts like a vector. And then because of that 5G antenna that is impregnated into you, that stays behind, when 5G then gets switched on, because, you know, like Elon Musk has got, I think he's got a mandate to put, is it 1 million or 100,000 or 1,000, I don't know what the number is, of these 5G things out in orbit around the Earth. So when that switch is flipped on, then everybody who has got the mark or that stuff in them will be connected in a very strange way to a superhuman computer, AI, intelligence. Again, I know this is weird and it doesn't, I'm not, please don't think when you hear my voice that I'm saying this is right or that it's happening. I'm just saying this is what I read. This is what I got from David. But it's still not going to be the thing that enables the buying and selling. So the buying and selling is going to be something either that is added onto this or something that comes after this. It's very, very strange to listen to, and it's very strange to take in, but it's not as far-fetched as what we think. I think if you look at it and you look at the cold, hard, heartless people that are developing these things, then it would make sense that this is where things are going. So I don't say any of this to scare, I don't say it to fear, and I'm just saying what I've read. I'm not saying that I even agree with it. It is difficult to understand, that's for sure.
Amen. Go ahead, Denise.
I think Missy had her hand up first. Mine's just something's real brief.
Claire, that last, what you said about the last thing that's implemented that will allow the buying and selling? Is it like, okay, that's the last step of really receiving the mark? In other words, you can have, what come to me is you can have all the previous stuff without it being the mark, but that last final thing will make it the mark. I don't know. That was just my thought. I mean,
Okay.
Is that what it basically he's saying, or is that your understanding or what?
What I understood from it was that all of these things that are going to be in this specific kind of vaccine that has got a patent with the numbers 666, and it's got, do you know what I mean? It's just like that there are no coincidences in this world. So if we look at the patents and we look at the hard cold facts, it all adds up to it being what it is. But if you do not have all of those biomarkers, you are not going to be able to use the currency for buying that they create for buying and selling. So in effect, those things do precede the mark if we're looking at it that way, but it is not the mark, because it is having that in you doesn't make you currency, or doesn't make you, do you know what I mean? It's priming you. So the way I can understand it is that if you don't take any of this stuff, if you don't take these vaccines, you're definitely not going to be able to buy and sell. You could take all these things, and at the end, number 99, you could turn away and say, I'm not going to use this currency that they implement. However, at that point, you are hooked up to 5G that is controlling you. So how would you be able to know whether you can say no? How would you have the mind when they are already controlling you? If they're already being able to augment your reality or do the things that they envision to do, even if it is at number 99, I'm sure there's going to be some people that are going to be, you know, creeping through the last little cracks, but I wouldn't want to wait that long. I don't know. That's just me personally. But as I say, Anthony Patch, this is the stuff that he did on the, I think the 13th of November, and he's already got another maybe four or five very, very long-winded, drawn-out talks on his YouTube channel. And I don't think that is a good use of any saint's time. Like that, yeah. God is going to reveal this stuff to us. So I had hours that the Lord said to me, you can use this today for this. And he gave it to me for this. But I wouldn't say that we need to. And again, I'm not teaching. I'm just saying for me, I'm not going to research this until the Lord gives me the go-ahead to spend some time on it. But I will always be having time for the word. And I think that's the only thing we can.
Let me say something about this, and you can correct me, Claire, if I'm wrong, but what brief part of it that I read was that this thing is going to put a number in this tip that it's going to put inside of you, and that number will hook you up with a computer. They'll know where to go to find the information about you. Is that the way you saw it? It's not going to have all the information on the chip itself. It's just going to give them a place to go to find out who you are and what you are and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so it's basically that little bit that gets left behind acts like an antenna. And because it's got all the other biomarkers already in place, when that switch happens, they will be able to hunt you down.
Yeah.
And I think it's pertinent to know that we run to the hills for a reason, right?
Amen. We don't have to worry about it, and don't get anxious about it, because you don't have to take it. All right, let's see. Who was it? Pat, I'm going to say, was that you, Judy? Go ahead. Did you have something? You have something briefly there.
I was just going to say that I think all of this is just a lot of fear-mongering. It's a lot of the what they're doing to control, manipulate the herding of people to do what they want, to program them, and to get them under government rule and authority. You got to do this. And they put a lot of fear out there to make you do this. And just all the disinformation out there. And I'm just praying, like you all, that God's just going to expose all this before it goes too far. I mean, it's too early for the mark of the beast, but it is, I think, God's giving us, I think, just a view into maybe the future of what it's going to be like.
The mark of the beast, by the way, is a spiritual mark anyway.
Right. You have to have that.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the mark of God also is the same one.
But I just think it's just a conditioning thing. And I think God's just kind of given us a picture maybe and information into the future somewhat of what it could be like, how they are going to make people do this, how maybe we can better pray that, you know, God's people not be deceived by what they're doing now, you know, and all of it. Just,
well, you can see where it's leading.
Yeah, for sure.
You can see
it's
where
it's very confusing, and that's how they want to make it too. They've been doing this. They've been planning this for years.
Yeah. One other thing before I call on anyone else, Andrew, that 30% carbon tax that you're talking about is a control mechanism. They're not going to tell you what they're going to spend it for, but I can tell you where it's going. It's going in their pockets. Generally speaking, they'll do it in a roundabout way, say that they're going to spend money on this, and then they'll go over there and dip into it. You know, that's just typical political way of doing things. That's the way they do it. Okay, let's see here. Pat, I believe you were next.
Yeah, was it Dominic that asked that question about not understanding how it's being used? The vaccine? Was that Dominic?
He wasn't understanding about the mark of the beast.
There was a... I agree with what Claire is saying, that these steps that are being taken, even in this vaccine, they are steps and they're building blocks, so that and they will be utilized when the whole mechanism is put together. Part of that mechanism is the 5G communication link, etc. So all of these building blocks are essential. But I think the thing that I was thinking is that that even though God has given us the better way of believing him through faith and his God, his vaccine, and his protection, his Psalm 91, where we are isolated from the motivation of seeking out that as an alternate source of salvation, shall we say. But the world at whole will not have that. And they will... And so these things that are being implemented and put in place are for the use of motivation. And in that motivation, they gain a certain amount of control if you obey it. But there was a video that leaked out, I think in 2005, and it was on YouTube for a little while until they realized what it was, and you probably can't find it now, but it was a leaked meeting in a, I don't know if it was CIA or one of the intelligence agencies, where they were, they had been utilizing a drug that was sprayed over certain populations, and this drug, when it was taken into you know, consumed or taken, you know, ingested into the body, it started to affect your brain and the functioning of your brain, and had something to do with, you know, one section of your brain that it was affecting in the way that it made you think, or motivated you to think in certain ways, or motivated you to reject certain things. And I believe they were calling it anti-terrorist type of drug, because it tended to make the people that were radically in tune with their particular religion, it would tend to soften their stance and make them more passive regarding their faith or their energies toward that their belief system. So they were talking about it in this meeting as being able to use it as a weapon against radical Muslim elements of the world, etc. But obviously, it's by taking that same information, you can see exactly how a deep state would use it over against anybody, the population at whole, or Christians, or whatever else. So it had to do with a drug that would alter your brain activity and actually make you passive towards certain convictions and that sort of thing. So I think that that coupled along with some of the mechanisms that they're using now, I mean, they don't even have to worry about spraying it. They have the society motivation basically to inject it right into your body right now. I dropped a link in the chat room there related to, I don't know if David sent these out. They were messages that had to do with a doctor, Carrie Madej or something like that. I can't pronounce her name, but she has been studying vaccines and that sort of thing for a long, long time. And she was putting out a warning against this vaccine because it is not your traditional vaccine that you take part of the disease, shall we say, and then your body reacts against it and builds up an immunity. This is not that type of mechanism. This is totally created. It's not even, I'm not even sure if it's organic or not. I think it is a chemical type of, she called it, it was a certain thing that she called it. I'm not quite sure if I remember exactly what it is, but it works a totally different way than a regular vaccine does. And it's more on the level of technology and programming and influencing certain cells to do certain functions or whatever. It's more of an almost electronic type of vaccine. So take all of that information and mix it together and read it, and you probably have a good overview of what is happening. But the thing that when Claire was talking about, that kind of hit me, and that is that all of these things are building blocks that the devil is using to implement into people's lives in order to bring them to one thing, one place, where they make a decision to join in with him in a proactive type of way. Likewise, the mark of the beast will be, there will be technologies and all kinds of things happening at that point, and it's going to make it very hard for Christians at a certain point, but there will come a point in time when you're standing on that fence, and they will have to pose a decision. You'll have to make a decision. Yay, I'm going to go that way, accept it, or nay, I'm going to trust the Lord Jesus even to death. And so everything up to this point is building a mechanism to influence motivate us to make a certain decision one way or the other. But it all ultimately ends with a decision, so which is our ability to make that. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
That's why the Lord is giving us 3.5 years to get faith right. And if you don't get the faith right in the first 3.5 years, then you're going to take the mark. And that's just simple as I can put it. Just like Claire said, we're not to sit here and try to figure out how he's going to get the mark on us or anything like that. What we need to figure out is how to walk with Jesus. And when you walk with Jesus, you don't worry about a mark that Bill Gates wants to put in everybody, because we're not going to take the mark. And if it's forced on us, it's not going to hurt us in any kind of way if you have faith to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Put your hand down. Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
Oh, I didn't realize I was unmuted already. Did you unmute me?
No, anyway. I didn't. I wouldn't do that.
Anyway, I just have some thoughts on this, because my thought was that the mark was going to be mandatory, and we're being told it's not mandatory. Okay.
Well, right now.
Huh?
Right now.
Yeah, right now it's not mandatory. So, and we do need to understand this to a degree, because isn't it our job to inform people, hey, this is not something you want to be doing? There's a lot of ignorant Christians out there. There's a lot of people out there, family, friends, whatever, that don't understand. We have to understand enough of it to know and really know, is this really the mark or isn't it?
Well, I submit to you, Missy, that if you teach them faith, you don't have to teach them what the mark is, because they'll know what the mark is. The mark is a spiritual mark, both sides. That's all we need to know is that mark, even though you're right, even though we can tell them, hey, look, don't take that. The best thing to do is to teach them about Jesus.
Yeah.
When you teach them the faith of Jesus, they won't have to worry what the mark is then, because they'll have the mark of God on them. And the mark of the beast is not going to be what it seems to me, and I could be mistaken. I don't want to get people anxious about this stupid thing, because I want to teach more about faith than I do about what the mark is. Does that make sense? I don't want to get off what the mark is going to be or anything like it. I'll tell you what David says in Hidden Manna. He says the mark is a spiritual mark. You're already going to have the spiritual mark, whether you take the physical mark or not. Unless you are a child of God and you're walking by faith in the Lord, that's what's going to get us through that mark. Actually, is your faith and walking by faith. Go ahead, Lucia. Well,
I think right now though too is okay. Like for one, my parents are not there as far as faith and believing for the Lord. Okay. But by the Lord's sovereignty, they don't want to take this vaccine because they've heard of all the bad side effects. And my mom said, we feel bad enough already, and physically, we don't want to add something to it. Okay, that to me is the Lord's grace. That's the Lord's sovereignty. Okay. Now what was my point? I lost my point. That was one point, but I lost it. Help me, Lord.
What would happen, Missy, if you just told him, say, look,
here's what God said. I'm sorry. I know what it was I was going to say. When I sent that information out about it being the mark and there's that stuff, my mom made a comment about, well, you can't believe everything that you read. She poo-pooed it, okay? There's people that aren't going to believe that this is the mark, okay? But yes, you know, if they have the spiritual mark of the beast and not the spiritual mark of God, there's our prayers come into play in this big time when it comes to other people right now, as far as I'm concerned. That's what I'm seeing, you know, especially for, you know, our friends and our family, and even our prayers for those who we don't know are God's elect, you know, those that we don't know that are God's elect, that the Lord would warn them somehow that they would know, but even in their ignorance, for some reason, they would decide not to take it, totally oblivious to the fact that it's the mark. So I just think until God's people really grow up in the Lord and have the faith to really not take the mark when it is going to be mandatory mid-trib, if you want to participate in the economics and the money and all that stuff, you know, by then they will have the mark of God and they won't take the mark of the beast.
That's going to be our job in the next 3.5 years is to disciple these people to understand about the mark. You get the mark of the beast if you follow the beast.
Mm-hmm. If you trust in the flesh.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Okay, Will, go ahead, brother. I'll get right to you, Sue and Judy.
I said this before, but I think it's very appropriate tonight. A few years ago, I was at a get-together, and I started a conversation with a good friend, which I saw as a serious believer at the time and still do in what I know about him. And we were talking about the mark, and he replied to me that, how can this govern his heart? You know, what does this got to do or has to do with the way he feels about the Lord and lives his life? That a chip or whatever has nothing to do with what's in his heart. So it's not a problem for him. And I just remember I looked at him and I said, you know what, this chip is going to come with a consciousness, a mindset, and that mindset is going to be the abomination. And that just came out, and it sort of stayed with me. I that just came out of my mouth when I spoke to him, and that stayed with me until today. But recently I started praying to the Lord and asking him what exactly about the only reason for me is I know Revelation and I know the warning about the chip and that you can't buy and sell if you don't get it. And the only thing for me is I was praying to the Lord, what exactly about it is the abomination? What is so evil about it, you know, that it's evil to get it, that it's an abomination to get that chip? The only reason that I don't want to get it is because the Revelation says if you do get it, you are doomed.
Amen. I guess Will, did you mean to shut down?
Yeah, no, I'm out. I've just got the question. What exactly about the chip is the abomination? What is so evil about getting that Well, we all have our credit cards now, but it's not inside. Yeah, it's not inside our bodies, you know. What is the real abomination in theory about? Like, what is the sin to go and get that chip, that it's so evil in the sight of the Lord?
Yeah, same thing that happened to the Israelis out there when the 10 spies went out. There were the 12 spies. 2 came back and believed in God, and 10 of them didn't. What happened? Most of the people died out in the desert. Only 2 of them went in from the original bunch. It's mistrust in God, not believing God. Okay, Judy and Sue, I'm going to go ahead and get y'all. They've been waiting patiently.
First, before she starts, I want to say Larry and Connie are trying to get on, and they can't get on. They just get in the waiting room, and it just waits and waits and waits and waits. We did, but we had to go out and come back in. So you know what I should tell them?
Well, it could be that I just didn't see them come in or something, but I generally do. Tell them to try it again.
Okay, I'll tell them.
Oh, they're coming in the right. They're coming in here, aren't they?
I think.
Make sure they're coming in here.
Okay.
Well, you understand, don't you?
Yeah. Okay, that's what.
Okay. Saying. All right. Go ahead, Pat.
I think Judy had something, didn't she? Sue did.
Yeah.
Judy
had something.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Lord help me. I may remember when all of y'all all saying what Pat said, but I just felt like yes, it is like that. Whatever that medication or whatever that is that they're putting in there is to try to control the mind, control our mind, and I really think that it's related to the DNA. Something in there as well, because you know we've got two men, Christ and the devil, right? And in order for us to get the mind of Christ, then we need to get the word in, right? First it has to go through our mind, then it gets into our heart. When it gets into our heart, I believe it has an effect on the DNA in our bodies. And when it gets when the enemy comes in and he tries to control our mind, that's going to change. If we have that COVID, or not the COVID, but if we have that chip or whatever that changes the DNA, it'll make it go to the negative. It'll make it follow Satan instead of Jesus. It won't make it easy for the people to follow Jesus, because it's like putting sin in our heads. You know, when a person's in sin, there is no consciousness of their sin until they see it, until they realize it. You know, like in the Old Testament, they didn't have any consciousness about the sin, and the Lord even said if they are sinning, that's going to be put on the generation over generation with even the disease, and they have found that diseases can come change the DNA. You know, like if a person is an alcoholic, his parents were alcoholic or whatever, then those children have that gene for it, for alcoholism. And it's like my mom, she had gallbladder problems, and she had to have surgery. I had to have surgery because it was in my genes. If she didn't have it, I wouldn't have had it. You know, so I think that the enemy he can't do exactly like Jesus does. You know, we have the will, and our will is involved when we go to Jesus. But he wants to control us somehow. He wants to control us somehow that we have to turn to him. We can't make that decision for ourselves. He doesn't want us to. He wants to control us. And sin, our flesh, it's like going, you know, having our flesh be ruled over Christ. You know, I think that whatever's in that shot, whatever's in the future, even if you take more than one, that it's going to affect that to the point where we follow our flesh and not our spirit. You know, and it's not going to be like we want to. It's like, you know, Pat said about the passivity. There's medications, mind control medications, that make people passive, to change their way of thinking. You know, like bipolar people that have bipolar, we know it's demons. But they give a medication to put them on a level, serotonin level. So So I think it's kind of related to that, you know. But I think that's what I was going to say anyway. Somebody did ask about the DNA.
Amen. Yeah. The Lord changes your DNA.
Right. He does.
You don't have to worry about it. Again, you keep your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's the one that changes
it. The people that are going to take the mark are already walking in the mark. They're already right. Walking in the spiritual mark of that. So it's, yep. You know, it's we just have to reiterate faith and trust in the Lord.
Yep.
If you don't have your faith built up during the first 3.5 years, then you're suspect.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to take the mark. There are preachers out there right now that are preaching that the mark cannot hurt you. You go ahead and take it. It'll be okay. There are preachers in Christian, so-called Christian pulpits preaching that right now. And some of them, if I mention one of them's name, everybody here would know who I'm talking about.
Mm.
I won't mention John MacArthur. I'm not going to mention that name. Nope, I'm just not going to do it. But I'm telling you, that's the mindset that people have nowadays, is they're preaching anti-biblical doctrine to the people, and they are just loving it because they can go ahead and do their sin and belong to a church and think they're going to heaven. That's the abomination of desolation right there. Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
So I was, I know that I when I said that, I wasn't real clear, but I guess the point I was trying to make is that the mark is not primarily a physical thing. I know that, there's talk about, you know, things in the vaccine, this and that and whatever, which we personally won't even have to consider or deal with if we are focusing on the Lord and focusing on and finding Him and His Word and working His Word in our hearts, allowing His Word to transform us, change that DNA within us, and so that we're not even thinking and moving in that direction. However, there will be many people that will go down that path and take all of these things, these vaccines and these various different things. So they're gonna come into that more or less ignorantly. At which point, repentance to the Lord, wholehearted trust in Him, repentance and turning and walking by faith in Him, that stuff becomes null and void. It becomes something to be healed of, as opposed to a thing that is, you know, hooked onto you and you can't get rid of it. It's like Sue was saying, walking in the flesh or walking in the spirit. So,
yeah,
because at that time when the mark, so to speak, is implemented, it will be probably a mark of some sort, maybe a chip or something like that. It will be, but it's going to take your consent to agree with it one way or the other. That consent is the initiation of the mark of the beast on you, because it was already within you. Nothing physical, spiritual within you. That being said, these people that are preaching that you may just go ahead and take this thing, you don't have to worry about it because Jesus is going to you know, he's going to save you through the process, and you don't have to worry about that. They're speaking those things out of unbelief, because they don't believe in the promises of God, to rather hand those promises and the promise of faith in Christ, to walk in the victory of that truth and reality. They don't even believe that. They haven't even entered into it. Many are not even aware of that depth or that concept or that place in Christ. So this is their alternative. Well, go ahead and take it. You know, it's a, just get all you can get, you know, because guess what? God, at that point, God's going to send out the old trumpet and rip you out of here before the bad stuff really starts happening. So you can get out with the goods and take the mark and everything and still get out of here ahead of the hell. So, you know, there's just, I think, you know, I believe what Michael is saying, forget all of this stuff. It's good to be aware of it. Focus on the Lord Jesus. Focus on what he's telling you and showing you now, what he's wanting you to obey and absorb into your life and work out through faith. Those are the things that are going to prepare us and isolate us from receiving, even being motivated to receive the mark of the beast. That's the point. We won't even be motivated to choose that alternative. We'll already be solid in walking in the Lord and be and receiving of his the benefits of his word. And not only that, but we'll be giving them out to others and teaching others how to stand in that truth as well. So I don't know, maybe I muddied the waters more than
that's good. That's good. Study the truth. That's right, Judy. You'll have the mind of Christ, and then it won't be an issue. That's exactly right. Praise God. Instead of, you know, well, we've beat that horse for a while. That's good. We got that one fixed up. Just like we said, just, man, run after the Lord with all your heart, and you don't have to worry about all that other junk. Go ahead, Missy.
Something that came to my mind was the pre-tribbers. You know, they know the mark of the beast. At least some of them know that that's in the middle of the tribulation. And they think that they're going to be sprung out of here before that. So, you know, they may think, you know, well, we don't have to, you know, whatever, you know, whatever we're doing, you know, they may think that this is not the mark of the beast just because of their pre-trib doctrine, deception. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, exactly. That's where the error in their doctrine will kill them.
Lord, we just ask you to open the eyes of your elect and dispel, show them the truth, Lord. Any of them that believe this pre-trib doctrine, Lord. And that, we just...
That pre-trib doctrine is going to be knocked out, probably be one of the first ones just knocked out. Because they're going to say, well, wait a minute, tribulation has started and I'm already here because there's people dying all around me. This has got to be tribulation. And they're going to come out and they're going to start listening to the true gospel. Now, the ones who... Like you said, the ones who want to stay with that doctrine, they're going to take the mark. They're going to line up and take it. Yeah, Vanita.
When I started studying David's Hidden Manna and switched from pre-trib to post-trib, I talked about a lot with my pastor, or tried to get him to talk about it, because they're pre-trib. And it just always came back to this fatalism of, you know, it's pre-trib, but if it's not, then, you know, God will give us the grace to understand and know what to do. And it's just all too complicated to really understand or study. So we'll just wait and see what happens.
That's the way they do it, you know.
Yeah.
I've had them tell me, Vanita, that, if this is the last trump, what is this one over here, this other last trump over here? Well, there's three last trumps. I've heard them tell me that. There's three last trumps. Wait a minute. That don't make any sense. But they'll hang to it. They'll hang to it and just excoriate you if you tell them they're wrong. You know, I'm going out on the first busload, brother. I ain't going to wait till no. Well, no, you are too.
It's hard to convince them. And yes. I don't know. I mean, it is partially, the Lord's going to give you the grace. If you don't believe it now, he will somehow. He'll bring them along, but yet we still need to understand it and be prepared for it. And how do we prepare for it?
Amen. That's the best thing to do is just pray for them. Pray that God would open up their eyes and ears to hear the truth of the gospel before it's too late, before they get all those people going down the wrong road. And then they wake up and find out that, hey, the preacher was wrong. Forget him. Let's go find somebody that's got the truth, you know. There's going to be a lot of them like that. There's going to be some pastors that are going to come in to the truth of the gospel also. I have laid it out to some pre-tribbers before and just showed them, you believe this? Yeah. Believe this. You believe this over here? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe that too. Well, so you can tell that the tribulation is the rapture is not going to happen until afterwards, right? You can, I can see that. Yeah. And come back the very next day and tell me that they don't believe it anymore. That's a religious spirit, and all you can do is pray for them. Go ahead, Will.
The biggest motivator for me is the biggest motivator for the people to get the mark would be financial reasons. Then, if I look at Revelations, because there's a lot of revelations in there, but they're not going to be able to buy and sell, and thus they're going to be pressed to take the mark. So I think a good ending to this maybe, or a good is to go back to provision. There's a few things that I'd like to share about provision, and also if you guys would like to add on it, because it's the revelation, the majority of the church and the fleshly church would not have the revelation of the real church will learn it. And will also die, would be willing to die without it, but the fleshly church would accept the mark because they don't care. And would be so fearful of not having their next meal or whatever that they'll gladly take that mark without any second thought about it. What was nice about me was provision is a big big topic. It's much bigger than just the Lord will provide. There's rules on provision, and there's for me is seek the kingdom of God with all your heart, make the kingdom of God your main priority, and the rest will be added onto you. Another thing for me is about provision is you have to gladly take your crucifixion and embrace it and celebrate your own crucifixion without any anger towards man or God to receive your provision. That's a big one for me that I wanted to add. And one other thing that I think David added years ago for me that was really good is all your stuff, everything you own, you're not a steward about over 10%. The churches likes to put us back under the law and tell you you've got to give your 10%. And I know about charismatic churches that still put you under that 10%. It's so funny for a charismatic church to do that, you know. You'd think they'd be more open-minded. And but you aren't a steward of, you're a steward now over 100%. So if you want that, what's that verse? That if you want me to open the floodgates of heaven, you give your 10%, you must now put your 100% down. And that is not possible without the power of the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, everything I have is yours, to receive the provision blessing. So provision is something that has to be practiced. It's not just a simple thing. And if you know your provision and all the laws and you're comfortable with that, it's going to be much easier when the mark comes around. You won't be really stressed or pressed at all for that mark. You'll just laugh at the whole scenario, knowing if they take everything. And in that another verse, they gladly took the spoiling of their possessions, for they knew they had a much bigger a prize in Christ when they were looted. You know, that you are going most probably to be looted in the times that are coming, but it's going to be with a smile on your face. Also, the hiding of your things, that's a new concept, a provision concept for me, that you are allowed to hide your if the Lord allows it, then if a man's ways please the Lord, then he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. You might be able to, or if the Lord leads you to hide your stuff from looters or desperate people, to save yourself and your loved ones, I'm sure. It's just the provision topic is like the antidote to the to the vaccine. You know, our vaccine, our mark, you know, that we have great provision and we don't have to be stressed, but it comes with laws, and it's something that the Lord has to reveal, and we have to put it into practice and not stress about it, you know, and learn the physics about it before the time comes.
Oh, got to unmute. I forget. Go ahead, Vanita.
Yeah, just speaking about provisions like William just did, and maybe as a matter of prayer for me, my son, he has seizures and he takes a lot of medications for him. He's on like 5 different medicines for him. And I mean, I am just now learning about depending on the Lord for healing and all that. So right now he's dependent on those things, and that scares me. I mean, I do have fear, and I just this past week was thinking about that and praying about it, that the Lord would just work that all out. I mean, I know he will, and I have to trust, and just I know that he will work it out. But, you know, in the back of my head, I'm like, well, you know, if I don't have the mark and he needs his medicine, and it's one of those things I just kind of worry about.
Okay, well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for building up Vanita's faith and trust in you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for building up on it to the point to where she can trust you implicitly for her son. And Father, we thank you. We're going to pray, keep praying for her. And I ask right now, Lord, that you infuse her with your faith. And I know that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And as she gets the word of God in her, Lord, I pray that she comes to that point, that you bring her to that point real quick. Grow her up quickly in your faith, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, how old is your son?
Nick is 26.
26. Oh, okay. So, Lord, we just ask that you, is he saved?
He is. Yeah, he's saved. He's special needs. So he has seizures and a learning disability. So, he lives right with us.
All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we've seen you do some mighty miracles before. Mighty miracles on special needs people. And Lord, we know that you can do that with Benita's son. And Father, we just ask and we pray that faith is being built up in Benita to the point to where she's going to trust you, Father, for her son. And in the name of Jesus right now, I break the power of pharmakia over her son in Jesus' name. I break the power of Satan over him in the name of Jesus. I command those special needs spirits off of him right now in the name of Jesus. I command all mental retardation to leave in the name of Jesus. And I command every spirit that has hindered this young man's walk to cease right now, your activities against him. In Jesus' name, I bind up all the works of Satan against him. In Jesus' name, and I count the narcotics and things that he's taken to be null and void. And Father, I thank you that he's going to just wake up that quick and know that he's healed. Father, we just praise you and we glorify you for Vanita's son. What's his name, Vanita?
Nick.
Nick, okay. Father, yes, we do. We lift up Nick to you. We thank you, Father, for the work that we know that you're doing in him right now. You're changing his DNA, so to speak, even as we speak, and we believe it, Lord. We can't see it, but we know you're doing. You're working in him right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in Nick right now and in Vanita to believe and to trust you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for placing great and bold faith in Vanita and Nick to believe what your word says in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Everybody believe that? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in Nick right now. Nick, you wake up in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I believe it. We're going to see a miracle here. We're looking at a miracle right now.
He is a miracle. He's just a beautiful, just the sweetest guy.
Amen. I'm looking forward to his testimony. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, George, go ahead, brother. You got to unmute yourself.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we can hear you.
Sorry about that. I was just thinking about that, what it takes to get sealed and have the mark of the Lord, and I believe it's the fear of the Lord. And I was reading Hebrews 4, and just before that in Hebrews 3, it talks about having an evil heart of unbelief and being separated from God, falling away. And Hebrews 4 starts, it says, let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering in his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. And that just seems to me the whole crux of all these precious promises that he's given us for provision and protection and deliverance. And, you know, what do we have to fear? The Bible says that when we die, we're entering into life. So it's not like we're losing anything, and we're to fear nobody but the one who can put us in hell. And if we're fearing those on earth that can take away our little shiny objects or make us feel uncomfortable in the flesh or whatever they're trying to hold over us in this life, God wants us to let go of everything except him and trust him and believe him and get these promises deep in our spirit so that we're standing so solidly on the rock that we can't tell whether, it's like Paul said, whether in the spirit, I know not. We don't know whether we're in the flesh or in the spirit because we're so close to God that the fire of God is just all around us. And if we remove this mortal coil, then we're still standing in presence of a living God who is a burning fire. So what is the difference? I think it's, you know, it's a privilege to be in these end times where we can be that close to God and have his glory envelop us and carry us through. So I think that's what you're saying too, as far as that 3.5 years is an opportunity to just keep burning hotter and hotter for God and see that glory just carry us through that. I believe that feast that we're going to experience while the rest of the world and everybody else is getting their wood, hay, and stubble burned off of them. You know, I believe that we're going to be glowing just like Moses, who was in the presence of God and his face shone. I believe that's what's available to us. So I encourage everybody, and I'm preaching to myself more than anything, it's time to get real, because the spirit is more real than the flesh. And that's all I got.
Amen. Thank you, George. All right. Anybody else? Huh? Y'all hearing somebody talk? So it's not me just hearing voices. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I was getting worried there for a minute, Pat. Amen. All right. Okay, now that we got that part squared away, what else? Benita, you're going to see a miracle in your son. You're going to see it. I believe it. I believe with all my heart. I believe he's going to be part of us here on this conference call too. Thank you, Jesus. That's just what I'm believing.
Yeah, I stopped going to church, but he's still going. So I'm trying to figure that out for him. Like, you know, he's very social. He likes to be around everybody. He doesn't understand everything that's going on with it all, but he likes to be part of that group. So.
He will. He'll be just as sharp in here that he hasn't been before. You're just going to see a change in him that's going to be normal, above normal. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus, for Nikki. Okay. What else we got to talk about? Yeah, Pat.
Just a little bit of a praise report. I'm going back a few weeks here with my sink that I prayed for healing. It's leaking pipe. And so the Lord has taken me through, I think I mentioned it a week or so ago, a couple weeks ago, about the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And that was, he gave me that as I was thinking about the need to move off out of passivity and proactively participate in cooperation with God's word of his promise to me related to that. And so that I asked him, how do I do that? How do I do that, practically speaking? So in my particular situation in my environment, the Lord gave me, when I pray for the blessing over our food at mealtime, I just bring it up at that time and praise the Lord and thank him for healing my sink, even through that process, through, you know, just through blessing the food, you know. And in that, and so believe it or not, there was a breaking, there was a breaking, something happening within me at that time, because usually I would just keep it within myself and trust the Lord and keep my faith to myself type of thing, you know. And so I'm going through that process right now. And for whatever reason, this is a big deal within me. I'm not quite sure exactly why. Maybe there's the fear or intimidation or something that I'm dealing with there, or fighting a spirit, or however. But anyway, I just wanted to praise the Lord, thank him that he takes us step by step. Whatever step we need, whether it be a large step or a small step, with me, they're usually small steps. But there's steps that I can take one at a time and stand on the ledge and wait for the next move and take the next step as I go. So I just wanted to praise the Lord and thank him for his truth. There is a good message that David speaks about. I think it's the power of the tongue or something like that. It was called the power of the tongue. Very good message related to basically that concept of whatsoever you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you know, you shall have it type of thing. And so there's definitely a willing participation of our cooperation in that whole process that needs to take place. And so I'm I guess going through those paces again now. So I just want to praise the Lord and thank him for those baby steps and taking me through the process. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Julie asks, Pat, is your sink healed manifestly? Is it still leaking?
It was the last time I checked, but I put a freezer bag under it. One of my quick fix ideas to see where I go next, I think. Put an isolate tape it up there, and every two or three days I'll empty it, you know. And that was the interesting thing that happened. It stopped for a period of time for about 3 or 4 days, and then it came back again. So I thought that was true to form. You know? You know, the Lord isn't through dealing with me on that. So praise the Lord. It's on the way. Amen. It's healed by faith. It's healed.
It. Amen. We believe it. It is healed. Let me read something that how many of you keep a notebook that when you think of something or you see something that you write that particular part that impacted you the most of something you should read? Here's something I wrote down in my notebook back in 2019. It says, a sinful soul uses the body for satisfaction in temporal sinful pleasures, but a redeemed soul, being delivered from ingrained sin, is united with the Spirit, and while enjoying the things of God in this life, looks forward to spiritual pleasures and eternal heavenly bliss. Did y'all get that? A sinful soul uses the body for satisfaction in temporal sinful pleasures. But a redeemed soul, being delivered from ingrained sin, is united with the Spirit. And while enjoying the things of God in this life, looks forward to spiritual pleasures in eternal heavenly bliss. Praise God forevermore. We ought to constantly keep our mind. And I tell you, you know, I write this down for myself, because I know sometimes that my mind wanders. And that's what he wants us to do, is he wants us to unite our spirit with the Spirit of God and keep it eternally, always on him. And then you won't do what the soul wants you to do. You'll overcome. Praise God. These little nuggets that we get, you know, from past preachers and pastors and what have you, are just that. They're great nuggets to help you in your walk. I sure would like a donut. I didn't say that, did I? Did I say that? Pie, yeah, pie. A la mode. Amen. Okay, what else, y'all? Anybody got anything else they want to bring up? That old sinful soul. Y'all see that? Just stick right out there. I'm telling you. Help me, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I am. I ain't had a donut in a long time, Greg. I guess I am. Hey, Larry, I see you made it, brother. Praise God. Indiana's back on the map.
Yep.
Amen, brother. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Yeah, Vanita, go ahead.
I was just wondering if anybody saw the planets. It was way too cloudy here for us to see anything.
Oh, girl, we saw it last night. It was beaming like a new dime up there. I'm telling you, it was really shining. David and I both went out there and looked at it. I think it was about 6:30, quarter to 7 or so that we went out there. Yeah, it's right this way. Right, there, wow. right outside my window. It was real plain to see too. Just pray. That's what we did. We prayed that we'd have a clear sky, and it was. It was clear.
Is it supposed to be there tonight too?
Oh yeah, yeah. It'll be there. It'll be there for, I think, for some time, won't it? Y'all. Anybody know how long it's going to be?
I think after Christmas, even, I think, pretty sure.
After Christmas, okay. Well, that's just 2 days away.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, Tim. How's it going, brother?
Good. I was just going to tell Nita that the stars set by about 10 o'clock here at the local time. Go down below the horizon, so if you want to see it, you know, in that first hour after sunset, look in the southwest sky and up there, the planets are. We saw them tonight.
Yeah. We saw it just right at dark, just right at dusk, you might say. So you can get out there and look, and it'll be there. Southwest sky, about, oh gosh, about 9 o'clock.
How high up off the horizon is it approximately?
About like that.
Okay, that helps a lot.
It's about what would you say?
40 about, degrees.
Yeah, about 40 degrees, probably.
Not 40, but 30.
Go ahead, Sue.
I don't know if this is a prayer. I wouldn't say it's a testimony, it wouldn't be a praise report either, but I don't know if I mentioned I think I did mention on our regular meeting, but my grandson, my husband's children, grandchildren, they're my step grandchildren. I sent a message to my one grandson, Joey. He was one that we had took care of ever since he was a baby. And when he was growing up, I would, you know, Al and I never had brought our children up in the Lord like we would have wanted to. This was the husband that the Lord gave me. And so when we had the grandchildren, we thought, Lord, help us to learn how to train them up, you know. So we had the grandchildren, and I remember we used to tell him to, when he got old enough, we told him, he'd say, I want to eat something, or I was hungry, and we weren't able to do that at the time. We just said, put your flesh under. You know, we used to tell them at different times. And so he was one that he was the first one that we ever brought up in the Lord. And it was a blessing, because sometimes when we would say something to him, he would receive it. We didn't have to scold him that much, because he would feel really bad. We'd get down on his level, and we say, now, you know, that thing that you did, it made grandma and grandpa feel really bad, or feel really sad, you know. Oh, I'm sorry. Then he'd start crying, you know. And he'd be like about 3 or 4 when that happened. And different things. We learned a lot of different things. But I just got a chance to text him the other day, and even today. And I found he's in that apostate. You know, I don't know if it's once saved, always saved. But he's not following. He doesn't. He thinks his family, that's my husband's family, they think that I'm in a cult. And I was able to text him, and I just said, you know, they don't think that what I'm doing is right. And I said, well, I said, what if I'm not wrong? Where are you going to be? But I just said a prayer to him, and I said, well, Lord, help us both to see what you want us to see. So, Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would show Joey especially, and then that he would be able to bring this, what you show him, to bring it to the rest of the family, Lord, because I know then that they don't know what they need to know. I don't know if they are pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, but I believe they need some deliverance. So Lord, just open their eyes to the truth, help them to see your word, your truth, your life. In fact, he was thinking, you know, like patriots about the guns and stuff like that. He was thinking, well, I've got a gun. I can use it if I need to, you know. And so we had a difference of opinion with that even. But anyway, I thank you, Lord, that you were able to bring him to be able to have a conversation with him again, and I just pray you're going to do a mighty work in this family, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, a little out of context, but I didn't see that angle over the phone of how high this Jupiter and Saturn were. And the other thing is it pretty bright for you compared to other stars?
The what?
I'm just wondering if that Saturn-Jupiter thing that you and David saw, is it fairly bright compared to other stars?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Also,
yeah, you can't miss it.
What's the angle for those of us on the phone? How high is that high?
Well, it's at about a 40-degree angle, 35.
Oh, it's a ways up. Well, it was a clear night tonight, and I should have driven down to the road.
Yeah, well, are you in some woods?
Yeah, well, we have a hill right there.
Oh, I got you.
So,
okay.
So there's nothing very bright out there.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to see once you get in the clearing, you know. You can see it. It's in the southwest sky.
Yeah.
And it's about, Yeah, you can't miss it. If you look in the southwest sky, look down about, well, look up just a few feet and you'll see it. We walked out on the deck and we just saw it immediately. Well, no big thing.
Probably be more fun to go out on your porch than on to drive down the road here.
Well, it could be.
To get myself.
You can tell there's two planets there. I can. I have that good eyeballs.
Don't you know?
You could. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Andrew.
So I guess Greg would see it really good down in Australia, seeing as he's in the south. Like up here, it might be at a very low angle for me, being up north in Canada. The further north you go,
we had to put sunglasses on, Andrew. Yeah. We're like,
got to wear sunglasses, huh?
I actually haven't seen it, Andrew. I'm just curious. I might make a trip this evening to somewhere where I don't have trees all over the place. You know, stay there, trees, by the way. But, you know, I thought I might go to the beach or up to the hills where, you know, you don't have it. I have an uninterrupted view. I'm just curious because here, this part of the world, this time of year, sunsets later. So I would assume that light may be in the way. I don't know if Claire's seen it or not. But anyway, nothing wrong with going to the beach at sunset anyway.
We kept our kids up super late and we baked star cookies and we watched all the science stuff from Dr. Lyle. So we were, in theory, we were ready. We'd been praying since Saturday morning and we had 200% cloud cover and we saw nothing, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Well, we don't get cloud cover here till about March, April. So.
That's enough out of you, Greg. just kidding, brother. We know where we stay. We stay in cloudiness. Fine. The Lord hides us.
We have a lot of sun here all the time. It's just above the clouds.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right, let's pray. Oh, Lord God Almighty, we thank you, Father, for this time together tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your wisdom flowing through everybody. It was awesome. Lord, we thank you for your faith that you're building in each and every one of us, Lord. We praise you for the work that you're doing in us. And Lord, you're growing us up fast. And we praise you for that, Lord. We know that we're going to help a lot of folks when the time comes because we're going to have our eyes locked on you, Lord. We're going to have our ears locked on you, Lord. And we're going to have everything locked on you because we want to know we're going to be just like Jesus. We're going to be listening every step of the way to what you want us to do. I thank you, Father, for helping us to get rid of the flesh and to walk by the Spirit at all times. And I ask, Father, that you just fill us up with your Holy Spirit in a mighty way, so much so, Lord, that there ain't nothing left but you. That's all we want is nothing left but you, Lord. We don't need ourselves. We need you. And, Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you are maturing everybody in a mighty, gracious way. I thank you for your grace, though, because we always, it seems like that we misstep here, but we get right back up. We know what your word says, and we just walk with you, Lord. That's all we want to do. We want to walk with you, listen to you. The words from the world have no desire in our hearts whatsoever. Father, we thank you for your protection around the president and the white hat, so to speak. We thank you, Lord, for giving him wisdom and the knowledge that he needs to do what you want him to do in this country. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, that your warrior angels are round about him now, keeping him safe from the enemy in Jesus' name. I thank you for this man, Cyrus, that you have given us, Lord. And I thank you that your protection is upon him. And we just praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do in him for us for the first 3.5 years of this wilderness experience that you're fixing to put us in, Lord. And Father, we ask that you make our hearts ready for this great anointing. And I thank you, Father, for being our God. We love you, and we want everything, Lord, that you have for us. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Lord, give us all a good night's sleep, too. Let us dream dreams of you, Lord. And like somebody was talking about earlier, Lord, put the fear of God in us. Keep that fear right there. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, okay, y'all. Bless you.